This is The Women of Letters, a podcast dedicated to the TV show Supernatural and everything fandom.
Hello and welcome to another Women of Letters podcast. The last one before... Drum roll.
Ba, 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 ba.
200th episode. Hello, I'm Jules, and here with me in cyberspace, actually in another part of the country, is Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hello, Jules. Yes, very exciting. This time next week, we will have watched it, and we will be squeeing very loudly. All the feels will have been had and still being had.
I think I can easily predict by this time next week, fandom will have lost its shit.
Yes, I think so too.
Which actually isn't a hard prediction because fandom loses its shit a lot. And it doesn't actually tell you the direction in which fandom shit will be lost.
Yeah, I have a feeling it'll be positive shit.
Will be flying all around the place.
Oh, probably. It usually does. There'll be shit flying all over for shits. For sure, they'll do something that'll have flit shine
everywhere.
Yes, that. It's been a long day, let me tell you.
But we had another in the celebrations for the 200th. It's wonderful, all the recognition and that the 200th episode in the 10th season have got. I should say this week in the US, the issue of TV Guide coming out has a 3-page spread, an A to Z of Supernatural.
Yeah, A to Z.
Yeah, just throw that in there for, you know, Americans who can't understand the word Z or the letter. And on Monday night this week, there was a VIP/fan party in LA, which some amazingly lucky fans won a CW competition to go along to a party to a advanced screening of the 200th episode. Obviously, all sworn to secrecy.
They probably signed something, I would imagine.
I think they probably had to give over a family member to be held in surety,
which they would have,
until after it.
Which they would have gladly done. I would have, have my mother.
But that was wonderful, wasn't it, Amy, to see all the photos of everyone.
I loved it. I joked. I said, oh, my God, they've invited, like, all the cast, even the dead ones. Wait, that's everyone, pretty much. Like looking at everybody in the cast that was there, but it was great because, like, you don't see the cast, the ex-cast and ex-cast, you know, the big sort of extended cast of Supernatural in a space together at any time other than a convention, and then they're not always in a space together, you know. They're stretched across a few different days, but, you know, just to see these photos, and you could look in the background and there's Matt and everybody's photo bombing each other, and I mean, it was just such a lot of great people there, and Sarah Gamble was there, which I thought was fantastic.
And there's some great videos out from the bloggers who were there. You can check up on the Super Wiki, and a great interview with Sarah Gamble talking about it, both her time on Supernatural, but she's got two great new projects coming up. One called Aquarius, and I might have mentioned this before, and it's basically sort of a undercover 70s cop, and it's around the time of the Manson murders in LA. So,
and it's Duchovny.
And it's both in it and producing as well. And Sarah's writing and producing on that. And then the other one is a series which has got a pilot commission for Sci-Fi called The Magicians, which is based on a series of novels by Les Grossman. So very exciting. Two projects, both of which have my name written all over them. Love me some true crime-ish stuff, and of course love some fantasy. So it's an exciting time for her. We had Jeremy Carver being so Jeremy Carver-esque.
Oh my God, he was so Jeremy. Especially, I watched Robbie's interview, and then I watched Carver's, and I was like, oh please. It was like Robbie's like chatty, and Carver's like, what can I not tell you? And it's just was hilarious. He went
back to his usual self, rather than the chatty Kathy he'd been at Comic Con.
I was disappointed he didn't have my tie on though.
I think Jensen had borrowed it. He was
wearing Jeremy's shirt.
He was cosplaying Jeremy Carver last night. I mean, what is this?
He looked adorable. Get out of here.
Seriously, and with someone his take that jumper hat and his Jared. Sneakers.
Oh, he loves that hat as much as he loves the white beanie.
I know, which I think figured that was the same one he wore in his audition tape. You go back and have a look.
That's right. Seriously. Well, didn't he once say it's like a $15 one from American Eagle or something?
And it looks like the one he's had for at least, probably 11 years.
Gross.
You go with your little preppy self there, Jensen.
He looked adorable. Shush.
Seriously. Looks like he was going off a bloody accountant. But what do I know about men's fashion? Obviously more than Jensen. Okay. Oh, Jensen's fashion.
So
sense.
Mean.
Oh, he's been in Vancouver too long, obviously. There you go. Now I'm hanging shit on Canadians. And the wonderful
stopping
news.
Stopping here tonight. God.
Look, I will share with the listeners. I do have my cranky pants on because I'm premenstrual. So.
Right. So we're in for it.
You're in for it. The dog's already had an earful tonight. Breathing. Anyway, what was I going to say? Oh, the good news is that there'll be clips and highlights from the party are going to be shown during the ad breaks of the 200th episode.
Which was so cool. What a great idea.
So I just have to make sure the source I get my 200th episode from keeps the ads in for once.
Yes, exactly right. We need the ads in, people listening.
I'm sure Fandom will provide on that.
I am sure Fandom will provide.
There was that wonderful photo of, I think it was... was it Jared Jensen, Gil McKenney and Jason Manns, and then it had Rich and DJ Cole's photo bombing in the background.
Yeah. And I thought it was great. It was like I saw DJ tweet saying it was like a family, get-together family reunion or something, he said. And that's actually what it kind of looked like because it was all the cast, and then Jason Manns was there playing and Brian Buckley was there playing, of course, super close friends of Jared and Jensen.
Yes.
And, so it did actually, from the outside looking in, it did kind of look like just like a bunch of family, friends getting together for a party instead of like an event.
Yeah, no, it looked like a fantastic time.
And the singing as well.
They sang Carry On Our Way with My Baby Son, and everyone on the internet was crying.
Pretty much. It was amazeballs.
Jen and Daniil were there looking gorgeous.
Oh, my God, Daniil's hair. Made her like about 6 feet tall. She looked amazing. I was like, oh, my God, she looks amazing.
And the two of the, I only recognise two of the actors from the 200th were there.
Yes, I saw that photo.
Very exciting. I'm sure we'll be wanting to know lots more about them later.
Mm-hmm. And the gift booth, the Tumblr gift booth. How awesome was that? And where are they? Because I need to sit in one. And pull faces.
I don't want to be picky, but they could have taken, some of them only had three shots. Like I want multiple GIFs here, and I want 10 images per GIF, and get some Tumblr fangirls running that booth.
Yeah.
I've said to you before, I would love to have a photo booth at a con.
Oh, I think that would be great.
I think I did go down some rabbit hole of looking in organising one last year, but whatever. It was for VanCon, but it's, money and stuff.
Yeah.
But, get onto it, Creation. I would pay.
That would be great. We would all pay. And they could actually get the one, I've been to so many do's where you go and it's got like the little branding at the bottom, of the photo booth. I mean, I've had work ones that our work one does that. Our work Christmas party always has one. It has our little channel brand at the bottom. So they could have their little Creation brand at the bottom. And, I think it's an idea. They should be doing it. There would be queues for the photo booth. Can you imagine?
I know.
It's actually a tradition of me and Hazel when we go away, we always photo booth. We'll track one down anywhere. FYI, Urban Outfitters all have them, by the way, if you're ever looking for one randomly. They all have them. So we. But we, like, we'll pass a photo booth. Do you want a photo booth? And we'll always get them. So we've got loads of strips from, like, planetariums and from the Kennedy, from the Space Center, from NASA, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, yes, creation, we would go freaking crazy for a photo booth.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll have a look into creation. I'm sure we should mention it. Maybe we should email creation and mention
Maybe.
Maybe they might see it as competition for the photo ops, though.
I don't think Jensen's going to climb in the booth with me, though. He's most welcome to squeeze in there with me.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, it'd be
pull that curtain.
I think it would be additive rather than complementary rather than supplementary to the photo
and
ops.
And they would make money from it anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let me go away and think about that. I'll be the one.
Maybe we should email them and say, have you ever thought of?
Yes, you can do that.
Okay.
Anyway, it was a wonderful event. And it's just so great, the recognition everyone's getting. So wonderful to see everyone so happy.
And it must be so lovely for them for doing this show for such a long time. And really in the last few years, they've just all of a sudden, like, come out of the dark into the light. It's like, oh. And, yes. And all of a sudden they're having promos and promo shoots and parties, you know, whereas before they were like, you know, they were like, you know, Fight Club, you know. Don't mention it's Supernatural. Whatever you do, it was, you know, really.
I keep thinking there must be some of those companies making merchandise who are kicking themselves that they didn't get on this bandwagon, you know, 5 years ago.
Exactly.
It's like, hey, suckers.
And that's it. Like, now look at all the merch. I mean, remember we'd all scramble for a T-shirt on, you know, some T-shirt site, and now there's freaking socks. Earphones and
you get every
everything.
Item of clothing with
I happen to be wearing a Let's Take a Howl at the Moon T-shirt along with my Hot Topic Supernatural Hunter pants.
And I'm actually wearing the one I wore to Armageddon, which is my Metallica T-shirt, which is
yes.
2006.
Woo!
From Television Without Pity. So I'm going old school tonight. But yes, I actually got during the week to preview the. Sorry, my dog's.
I know, talking Klingon
again. Communicator out. Yeah. She's like, yeah, she's communicating. USAopoly have put out a Supernatural version of Clue, known in Australia as Cluedo, but you know, that's the old trying to work out who killed who in the what room
with the
candlestick.
Candlestick.
And it's a lovely little production. It's all the pieces, the weapons are metal, and there's the Colt and Ruby's. I think there's Ruby's knife, the first blade. There's one of the tablets. There's John Winchester's diary. Something else, and then you get little, obviously, characters to play are Sam, Dean, Cass, Bobby, and Charlie. I think, is there someone else? I think that's five. Yeah, so, and the other one I got is a Supernatural Ouija board, which I haven't explored yet, but I think it's a Ouija board.
Right, yeah, you don't want to be using that. Well, you really don't. I mean, I know how you know how to deal with it and everything.
I'm actually having some friends around on Saturday, and so we're going to look out for some maybe some vines on the Super Wiki account, because we're going to play.
I didn't even know Super Wiki had a vine. Why do I not know this?
Oh, because I don't know if I've ever posted on it.
Right.
I think I posted my ice bucket challenge on it from Vancouver, possibly.
Maybe.
Oh, no, that was longer than a vine. That might have been on Tally. Anyway, so we're going to play Clue, summon up some spirits with the Ouija board, and I also have the Supernatural Cards Against Humanity set. So we're having a full evening of Supernatural games.
And I'm jealous.
And you're jealous, and we couldn't do that 5 years ago.
No, we could not do that 5 years ago. We absolutely could not.
So I'm very much, and thank you to USAopoly, because often being with the Super Wiki, I do get offered to review things, and then when they find out I live in Australia, they
balk.
Oh, thanks, but no thanks. thanks, I got my games delivered intact from FedEx last week. So I love some free perks. Yay!
So when is that game actually released? Do we know?
I'm not sure yet. Certainly the Clue game's going to be exclusive through Hot Topic.
Yes.
Soon. So soon. They were planning to have it out through around Halloween, but so you know, I'm assuming it'll be sometime this month, but it's not listed yet.
No, it's not.
At Ouija Board, I don't know where that's going to be available through. Probably all good spell shops and hunter supplies.
Yes, all
and
good
if you look
hunter
at the
supplies.
Front page of the wiki, you will find the link to the Supernatural Cards Against Humanity, which are free to download.
Oh, there you go.
Or you can do what I did, and there's also a link to a site that will print them on proper cards for you, which is
well
worth doing.
Yes.
So an afternoon and evening, we've got a long afternoon and evening. There may be some supernatural watching going on during that time.
Oh, I want to come. Why do you live in Melbourne?
Well, maybe next time you're down, we'll organise some games playing.
Yay!
The games afternoon.
That would be fun.
And I played the Supernatural Cards Against Humanity when I was in Vancouver, and we had much fun.
Awesome.
But speaking of watching the show, we should talk about what we're here to watch. Oh no, I've forgotten to add in my. I was going to mention my. How many episodes of other famous TV shows have had 200 episodes?
Because that's the thing. I have never watched 200 episodes of any show. So, and I was quite like spun out at the end of last week's Supernatural when I was like, oh my God, that was like the 199th episode, which sounds so huge. And I thought, I've just never watched 200 episodes of any show because I've never, either the show that I've watched didn't go that long.
Which is reasonable, because most shows don't go for 200 episodes, because that's, you're looking up around the, you know, nine season mark for for 200 episodes. You've got to remember, of course, Supernatural's only had 16 in season 3 because of the writer's strike. Otherwise, we would have reached 200 in season 9.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, very rare for a show to go through that. I was interested and nerdy enough to try and to find out what other shows have done around that. And particularly, I mean, of course, a lot of things like game shows and reality shows. You and I have both probably watched 1,400 episodes of Survivor at least.
Yes, at least.
And game shows as well. Of course, topping the list, and this really did stun me because I was thinking, you know, what other shows would have a lot of runs, and, you know, obviously, you know, those sort of Wheel of Fortune type shows have had many. And then I thought, you know, there's a soap operas that have been going for a long time, but I didn't realize how many episodes. So I looked it up, and I'm not going to make Amy guess because you never guess. And I'll do Days of Our Lives, which is sort of average for the big name soap operas like General Hospital, World Turns, and all that. Days of Our Lives, dear Jensen, if you had have stayed on this, Days of Our Lives, which started in 1965, has had over 12,000 episodes,
which is just crazy. And I wonder if there's anybody that's watched every episode.
Oh, probably. Probably. I wonder if there's a wiki for Days of Our Lives.
Well, I bet you there is.
That might be me in 2040. I don't think we'll be up to 12,000 episodes, but you never know.
I don't think so either. But you never know.
That spun me out a bit. 12,000 episodes that's a lot. That's huge.
That is a lot of episodes. That really is.
And just for the Australians listening, because you'll want to know, longest running Australian soap is Neighbours, of course, and that's got 6,805 episodes currently.
Gosh.
Closely followed by Home and Away. Oh, and for you New Zealanders out there, Shortland Street's up there with 5,400.
So amazing.
Of course, Coronation Street is actually, I thought, would have been higher.
How many?
8,271.
Oh, no, I would have thought Corrie would have been higher.
Yeah, it's been going since 1960.
Yeah.
But they're bloody English are slack ass.
I was going to say
three episodes.
Exactly.
A year.
I was going to say it's English.
Like Sherlock and
they're
going to
do three apps, six tops at a stretch.
The Sherlock of soap operas. But getting back to scripted dramas, of course, things like, you know, Smallville, which was also on the WB and the CW preceding Supernatural, that went over 200. Mm-hmm. SG-1 went over 200. And The X-Files, 202. So it just got over the line. But, you know, it lets you know that there's not a lot of shows at all that make it to this mark. And really, you know, even Doctor Who, actually, 809.
Mm.
800.
That has been going since 19 tickety boo as well, though.
Yes. 1963.
There you go.
But yes, yeah, so a wonderful, wonderful achievement. And I did like, actually, I think it was it Jensen or Jared's comment at the 200th, basically saying it probably won't hit him. I think it was Jared, you know, until the whole thing's
over.
It
was Jensen.
Oh, Jensen, that's right.
Yeah.
Success is what happens when you're busy, too busy working.
Yeah, exactly. He said they're up to 209.
Yeah.
So, you know, 200, we just worked on straight on through it.
Yeah, and it must
Which
be
is true.
You know, I've been in my current job for 13 years, and it is one of those things where, you know, it's only occasionally when I go, oh, my God, you know, 13 years, when did that happen? Because
yeah.
When you're in the middle of it, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
And as I said, Jensen said, you know, it'll probably be only after it's all finished and they look back that starts to have more resonance.
That then they start to go, oh, my and, you know, God.
But in the meantime, they do get to have some nice parties.
They do. They have and dress up nice, I think.
As long as you're happy, Amy.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Okay,
all right.
Let's get on to Paper Moon. Actually, we were talking. Oh, I have to go back to Hearts in Eyes for Robbie Thompson.
Yes.
Sorry, my Robbie crush is huge. And he's relevant to Paper Moon because, of course, this is nicely almost like a two-parter, a Robdam two-parter, I'm calling it, because Paper Moon follows on from Robbie's episode 8, season 8 episode, Bitten.
Yep, exactly.
Which was a bit of a controversial episode for a couple of reasons. I know you and I both really liked it, we know, you know, it was pretty light on the Winchesters, and that was because it was from the monster's point of view. And I know we both raved about it and, you know, delicious moments of the outsider point of view on the boys. But I think importantly, and where it sat in the arc of season 8, it was great to get that that journey of someone becoming a monster. And of course we leave at the end of that, Sam and Dean decide to let Kate the werewolf go and they don't pursue her. And so we pick up in Paper Moon that story. Now the opening scene, Amy, you're not going to spoil anyone, including me, but I know you've just watched this week's Sons of Anarchy.
I have just watched this week's Sons. I just finished.
Do you think they'd be better off with a werewolf in Charmy?
Yeah, they would, man. They'd be way safer.
Because that's
be less blood.
When we opened in the biker bar, I just had that moment of, you know, fanish mashup in my head when I was thinking, oh, wouldn't that be funny if it was, you know, Chibs and Tig on the bikes out the front?
That would be awesome.
And then we get to a scene that I, you know, from the moment I saw the first nanosecond of it, I just knew is going to be, you know, iconic. The Boys by a Lake.
Who would have thunk it? The Boys by a Lake. I absolutely love that scene, and exactly, it's iconic. I keep, it's actually my Facebook header at the moment, and I keep seeing it, you know, popping up all over the place, because we've really never seen that. You know, we rarely see them taking a moment. And this was obviously, they had gone somewhere to take a moment. It wasn't even just that they're sitting by the Impala at on the side of the road or something, which we have seen, having a brew after a hunt. But, you know, they actually went away. had a little, what do you call it? What did Bridget Jones used to call it? The little weekend away trips. And, you know, like, it was just adorable. And there they were with the green cooler between them, and having a few beers with their sunnies on, and it was a great scene. And yeah, I mean, I could have sat and watched that scene for ages. I could have watched them then, you know, go back to wherever they were staying at the cabin and fire up the Barbie, and then I could have, you know, maybe they might have gone water skiing or something. Am I going too far?
I was thinking it'd be one of those sort of campgrounds with an old rec hall, and there'd be a table tennis table in there with two half broken bats with the rubber peeling off it, and they challenge each other until, you know, one of them lost their temper and squished the ping pong ball. We've obviously both thought a lot about
it. We have, yeah.
But, you know, you and I have talked about how every time there's some sense of resolution, or the boys get to that point in their relationship where, you know, to be honest, there's been a bit of a breakthrough of understanding between them, that, you know, then the apocalypse happens, then some, you know, someone rings or something happens, and they're always on the move. And the fact that they've consciously got, you know, had, as Dean adorably called it, some we time, was born out through the episode, and the fact that they continued having conversations, or a conversation really that was allowed to have space and progress and get them, you know, let us see again where they're headed, and more importantly, give them a chance to get to know where the other one's at and make some more progress, other than just, you know, going, oh, you know, shit happened, let's, you know, have a couple of beers and get back to killing. They actually kept that process going when they were on the job.
And you're right, it was pretty much just one conversation that they just kept revisiting as throughout the episode, you know, and even when the phone rang and broke the conversation, they returned to the conversation, you know, and that's something we haven't seen before, and we haven't seen them having this kind of dialogue. And I don't think they've ever been in a space before where they would decide, look, you know what, this is time to get us right, and let's just take a minute and do that. We've never ever seen them even contemplating that, I don't think. To actually see them, actually, as you say, making the time for the we time, and, you know, spending time together as brothers as opposed to as workmates fighting something, but actually sitting down and relaxing and having time together, even if it was, you know, short. And then
I'm assuming they've been there for more than one beer.
I think they were there for more than one beer.
Though, let's give the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, I think they've been there for a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, Dean's, I mean, I know we don't know how long, but he's had time to get his hair cut.
I know. I bet he ran out and did that. He would have looked in the mirror and gone, oh, bloody demon, Dean and his hair.
I like to think Sam actually said, I'm the only one who's allowed to have long hair around here.
But they were, you know, just to see them in that kind of space emotionally that they wanted to take, that, because this is the thing for me, that where we are with them now and setting us up to go into the 200th, which is such a milestone and such an amazing achievement, that we've actually got these brothers wanting to be together. They're not together now because they're forced to fight together, or one of them's practically dying and the other one's, you know, making sure he isn't. They have actually made a choice, you know, to go and sit by a river and get to know each other again, and then, you know, have these conversations. They want to be there, and, you know, that's really kind of nice. And, you know, it's a very different a different view dynamic. Of them. Yeah, yeah. Different dynamic.
And, you know, we often, you know, usually each season there's a moment when they do choose each other. But the other thing that's different at this point too is they don't have to save the world at the moment. I mean, as Cass said in the previous episode, you know, obviously not everything's, you know, perfect. There are Crowley's still out there. There's still demon shit going down. Things aren't too good in heaven. But they're not really, if you like, you know, the world's not about to end. There's not someone uber evil out to kill them. No. You know, as far as they're concerned, aside from the worry about the Mark of Cain and I suppose both of their own emotional states, you know, it's almost the first time ever they've been in a space of hunting just being hunting.
Yeah.
You know, there's no Leviathans in the world. There's no revenge mission on the cards. It's really just a space where they can go, oh, looks like a demon, you know, it looks like a werewolf. Let's go look into that and not, you know, in the meantime, we've got to try and find where Lucifer is or something. So that's also quite unusual as well. So they've got a lot less pressure on the save the world front.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like just when you were talking there, I was thinking back to Swan Song and how Chuck talked about how, you know, the Sam and Dean that we never got to see that, you know, occasionally would go and catch a ball game or something or a concert when they had a couple of days with the hunts. And, you know, we never actually got to see that. We've never actually got to see them do anything like that. We've heard it referenced, but, and, you know, this was actually getting to see them take a moment to, you know, just be brothers.
Yeah. And also in those, you know, in the past too, though, when they did that, it was always with the spectre of something else hanging over.
Yes, always.
You know, there has not ever been, this is the first time when you think about it, there is not at the moment, in this very small window.
Yeah, it's going to be a short one.
Which is going to be slammed shut.
And we'll all cry, buckets of tears.
Damn. but yeah, this is a small window where there is not a pressing, as I said, revenge mission, save the world mission, whatever, ongoing or, you know, trying to save your brother or kill your brother or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's it is an unusual time, and I thought we, you know, I think you and I've mentioned, you know, Carver has spoken about this arc of seeing the brothers mature, and I sort of think that, you know, really started back in season 7 under Sarah Gamble when they were both, you know, Sam was moving through his guilt and post, you know, Lucifer hallucination, getting to a point of sort of acceptance to some level. Obviously that, you know, we know that didn't just get resolved, but also Dean went through a bit of a existential crisis about what's the point of all this. Yeah. And you know, we've seen them, you know, we saw Sam not looking for Dean after he disappeared. And, you know, they've been through stuff that, you know, there's been a lot of searching, I think.
A lot of self-analysis, a lot of, you know, analysis of them as a team.
Well, yes, but again, they haven't had a lot of space for that, and I think, but they've worked through a lot, and it's almost like a lot of stuff got broken, and now they've, you know, the bits have got put together. They've got a chance to really, you know, glue them down, if you like, embed that. But back to the werewolf. Oh no, I do have to mention. I know you've been along with me feeling every week when poor Osric sort of has a little sob on Twitter every time Jared. There's been a mention in nearly each episode of the fact that, you know, Jared, aka shot. Sam, is wearing a sling because Osric broke his arm. I feel so sorry for Osric that it just must be.
It just never goes away. At least next week we know he's got no sling.
His side.
I know. It's like, I'm so sorry.
And I don't know if you saw his wonderful.
I did.
So people can catch on Twitter.
The dude is awesome.
Osric was with a couple of friends that he actually studied Wushu martial arts with in Beijing a number of years ago. And long story short is they've got a movie out, but also they helped him reenact him wrestling.
I hope it wasn't like that. I love that Misha was a wet towel.
And it's wonderful. And oh my God, has he got some moves?
Oh my God, I was watching it. At first, I'm watching it and I'm just smiling. And then, like, my chin, my jaws just dropped. And I'm like, oh my God, look at him go. He's very impressive.
He is. So, and as of next week, Jared, aka Sam, will not be wearing the sling. So,
Osric can relax.
Hopefully, Osric can.
Master Chow can.
Deal that with whew. The rest of that guilt in therapy. Because he's an awesome, awesome man. But yes, back to the werewolves. Sorry, there was so much in this episode to talk about.
And yet we're talking about everything else.
We're talking about everything else. But back to the werewolves. Oh, okay. You probably would like to mention the Game Warden uniforms.
I would like to mention that. I think they're probably the cutest uniforms I've seen them in. I appreciated them being tucked in. And I did appreciate them, I must admit. So I always think they always look adorable in uniform, but they were really super cute ones. Game Wardens have super cute uniforms.
I did think now I wonder if they just, you know, they had those lying around.
I don't know. Or did they drive past someone and steal them?
Did they have a whole wardrobe at the bunker? Or, you know, Game Wardens.
That would be cool.
Yeah, if they just had the walk-in wardrobe.
Yeah, they've got a walk-in wardrobe with, like, all their camouflage, all their outfits. I think that's a great – and we need to get Jerry onto that one. That's a great idea.
Like Jerry and Kerry from Wardrobe.
Jerry and Kerry can work that one out.
I'll put that out on Twitter. We would love to see the Men of Leisure's walk-in wardrobe full of costumes that the boys can wear for all occasions.
Yeah, I they did look super cute. I love it when they, you know, like we went for a while, quite a long while, with them out, sort of getting into little outfits.
They've suited up a lot. They've been feds a lot of times.
And we haven't seen them in overalls or, you know, like in the early days when they were kind of in all these odd little outfits. And
yes, but perhaps it was realised that it probably wasn't quite realistic that they had 400 different outfits in the trunk of the Impala.
Well, the trunk is big.
It is big. And, of course, you know, there's eBay these days or Craigslist.
That's
pop an ad on Craigslist going, I need to borrow a couple of size whatever Game Warden uniforms for the weekend. I am sure they would get it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Anyway, they were cute uniforms. You're quite right. I'm glad you brought them up.
Well, they were distinctive too.
And they were. We just don't see that anymore.
They haven't frocked up in that way for a while, so good to see. Although I love when they're having that sort of conversation where they don't know where to start, and Dean's like,
oh, he wants coin? Bitcoin. What the hell? I know, he's like, you can say, oh, I'm supposed to say something now. It's very awkward. And I love how Sam just kind of leaves him to hang out to dry in those situations. Yeah. It's fun.
Bitcoin and Obama. That killed me. Thank you very much, Adam Glass. That was hilarious.
It was. It was very funny. Bitcoin. I was like, what?
I was like, random things together that cause. I love it. You know, Jensen does that face where you can see even Dean is like, what am I saying?
Yeah, it's just coming out now.
Oh, I've dug this hole and I can't really get out of it. So that was, yes, no, it was very funny. And then we, of course, find out that the woman who we sort of got the point of view of in the bar at the beginning is, well, the boys think it's Kate because they find her in a barn.
Yeah. And that was cool. I really actually really liked that little, you know, I mean, obviously we all knew it was Kate, but I did like that little sort of when Sam sort of went, oh, my God, and Dean's like, what? You know, he could see straight away that Sam was my God, and then he just spins her around so Dean can see her. And I love that there was that full recognition that, you know, a couple of seasons, it's been a couple of seasons since I've seen her, but it was still like straight away Kate, and, you know, the whole story just was there, and I really enjoyed that moment.
Mm. And we need to take a moment to, you know, because as things develop, obviously in the end they let Kate go again, but when they first catch her, they're both prepared to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dean's ready to shoot her, and Sam only stops him because he's concerned about what killing will do to Dean because of the mark of Kate.
He doesn't want to reactivate the mark
for you. And I think that's important to remember. I'm always you know, we do lose sight of the things that Sam and Dean do and will do in their job, and here's a young woman in front of them who they know is a werewolf, who they think has killed three people altogether. And, you know, they're going to kill her in cold blood. So that always gives me a little chill when you think about that. And I'm not saying that they're right or wrong, you know, wrong to kill her, but, you know, that's a hard thing to do. Because it's not a snarling werewolf jumping at them, you know, trying to kill them. It's a young woman tied up in a barn.
Yeah, exactly.
And that sends chills up my spine, because they are at a point where, you know, and if you think back to Madison and you know, a long time ago, and they were very different then, you know, and that was heart-wrenching. You know, it was, you know, bucket o' tears. And,
it is bucket o' tears, that scene.
And the tragedy of the situation and how difficult that was for them. And now it's, you know, there's not a moment's hesitation. There's not even a, you know, sucks to be you. It's just...
And then there wasn't even like a discussion about it. When Sam pulled Dean aside, it wasn't to sort of go, should we do this? Should we not do this? It was to go, dude, I think I should do this because you're not ready, because let's all face it, everybody's worried about the mark of Cain being reactivated.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like there wasn't even that moment, which we might have had seasons ago. Yeah. Where they're like, is this the right thing to do?
We're meant to struggle with this.
Yeah. Exactly. Remember that conversation, you know, that it's not anymore. It's just like, let me do it for you, buddy, because I don't want you shooting her. Hand me the gun. And it's not even to protect his feelings like it was in Heart when Dean was like, I'll do it because Sam was so distressed by it. This is just like, I'll do it because I don't want you to kill her, so I will. You know, and it was, you're right. They're in a different space. I think we talked about it in last season in the episode with, I always get the names all wrong. Is it Alexis, Annie, Alexis?
Annie.
Alex, Annie, Alexis, Anne. Something.
Oh, parents, we hate you for giving it. It's really
Stop
hard
it.
To remember.
I can't remember the order of the really Alex and Alexis. I know. But we had that conversation there as well, about how matter of fact they are, these days, about, you know, killing, and went, and there was that situation around the girl, and, you know, they were just outright, you know, well, that's what we do, you know, and there was no sitting down and considering the moment and should we, or is there another way, or should we talk to her or anything? And that's the same with Kate. It was just like, okay, well, we've caught you now, and we're pretty sure you killed those people, so pop. So yeah, you're right. It's pretty confronting.
But then, of course, sorry, can you just chat for a moment? My dog's on the communicator, and I'm going to communicate with her. You could just talk about start talking about them, talking about what Sam did to Lex.
Sam did to what?
Conversation.
Sam did to, oh, Lester. Oh, okay. Yeah, of course, because we also covered that as well when they were sitting in the car talking about what they've done, and what came out of that, I think, was really fun, was that you were a demon. Oh, really? You know, I was a demon. Oh, really? I didn't realize. Joke. I thought that joke was really good fun. But yeah, I mean, I think there was that conversation around Lester, which, you know, having the big flashback and all that kind of stuff to see it. But looking at whether, I don't know if it's Dean trying to, you know, point out that he's not the only monster that make himself feel better, or bringing that up with Sam. But Sam certainly didn't want to deal with it initially. But, of course, he did eventually, and which I thought was really good. But what I really
they start the little line that they repeat later in the episode where Dean's like, "I was a demon," and Sam's like, "Oh, you're so a demon. Cute. I didn't realize that." Which we get echoed back from Dean later on, which is almost but not quite a bitch jerk moment.
I know, it was really good. It was really cute.
But it is those little brother things, those little like teasing things like that, that, you know, even after, you know, 10 seasons, it just makes them feel
real, very real.
Yeah.
Very real. And, you know, another thing that they were doing and that both of them did in the conversation around the Lester thing was ensure that the other one knew that they weren't trying to start something, which was, you know, really important too, because
I'm not just digging at you to get a rise out of you.
Exactly. Like, which is what they've definitely done.
Rather than, you know, they're masters of the passive aggressive.
Oh my God. And they would, and they definitely do it to each other, but they made a point is, you know, I'm not trying to start. Well, I'm not trying to start anything either. I'm just saying, you know, and I love how Dean at the end of it's like, this is good. And Sam's like, yeah, it's not awesome at all, but okay, Dean's happy. But yeah, I mean, I really thought that was fantastic that they were making such an effort to communicate and ensuring that the other one knew that they just wanted to talk about it. They were just bringing it up, you know, out of care.
Treading on eggshells.
I mean,
as much as the Winchesters do with their size 13 feet, but you know, even after all these years together, it's not the way they communicate. There's only these rare moments, and you know, to actually have this sort of conversation that's, you know, about something that's very recent and raw, and they've both been dealing with their own shit. So you've got to remember that on top of talking about, you know, each other's feelings, they've got their own shit going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I do remember, you know, Sarah Gamble always talked about the boys' relationship as a third character. So it's like there's, you know, Sam and Dean's relationship in the car,
yes,
and they've all got issues.
Yeah. Sam and Dean's relationship is super awkward. It's like the awkward one. Because it was very awkward, a lot of their conversation, because they were trying to be so careful, and they you know, they've obviously internally themselves decided that they were going to, you know, make a commitment to not, you know, blowing it again and not making it go all pear shaped again. And you know, it was really interesting to watch. Such, as we said before, such a change in dynamic in their relationship was so interesting, and especially out of where we came in season 9, where everybody was angry, and then we're Muck of Cain mad, and, you know, everybody was like growling, and that was awesome. And, you know, to then come to this point is like, whoa, and it's awesome. It's really nice. Yes. It's so enjoyable. And I hope we get a lot more of it.
And it is quite involved for them to be able to, you know, because they each of them know, and Sam's been reminded through Demon Dean very recently, they can each hurt each other with their words very deeply. And, you know, we saw that, you know, we've seen that many times. I mean, Demon Dean recently, we saw it with Sam last season.
We saw Sam verbalize it at the end of Sacrifice, you know, and we even saw Dean admit to it, you know, I know I've said some things that have set you back on your heels, you know. Yeah. So
to open themselves up this way is, you know, it is a huge thing for them to do, because they don't know if the other one's just going to throw it back in their face. So it's amazing, and sort of, you know, you're holding your breath watching it just in case they tip back into, which, you know they can do at any moment. Someone's going to cross a line and the other one's going to go, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And turn on the radio.
And, you know, we have the lovely contrast in this, or, you know, their relationships juxtaposed in this episode with Kate and Tash, of course, with, you know, Tash being the monster that Kate's, you know, prepared to take a bullet rather than, you know, give up her sister, and, you know, she's fighting to try and save her. And that moment where, you know, Sam points out that, you know, Kate's just doing what they do all the time, and Dean sort of scoffs at that, and Sam's like, well, we're still here, aren't we? And Dean's like, yeah, but is it right? And you know, that's a huge thing to really, for Dean of all people, Dean, that I will do fucking anything to say, you know, my job is to look after my little brother, and that means always saving him, you know, no matter what, to actually be reflecting on, well, maybe there's another way things can play out, even just to countenance that. And I'm not saying, you know, he would change his actions or anything, but to look at it and to think,
is it right what we keep doing?
Yeah, not just is it right for me? I think that's the important thing too. He's, you know, which is of, you know, what Sam accused him of last season was that he did things that were right for Dean, not whether they were right for Sam or whether they were right for, you know, the good of the world, or but what was right for Dean. And here Dean's asking, you know, is it right in some, you know, metaphysical sense too? So, you know, I think that's where the having Kate and Tash in this episode as the boys are having this conversation, you know, is a really nice counterpoint, because it's, you know, they're doing what we do. We're asking them to do something that we wouldn't do, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And
how are they different? And you know, Dean's been a demon recently, and
he's been killed. The monster.
We don't know what else, you know, don't know all the things that he did, but we're pretty sure they weren't all fantastic.
But faced with the, you know, like whether he could kill his brother or not, whether Sam could have in the long run or not, I don't know, you know. But he wasn't even, you know, when we saw him trying to cure Dean, it wasn't until Cass said you might have to kill him. It didn't look like it had even crossed Sam's mind. He was like, oh, I might have to kill my brother. But, you know, obviously that was not something – that's just not something I think that they are capable of even really considering.
And it's a different thing that, you know, there's a difference, I think, in a way, you know, going back to Dean in season four, there's a difference between doing something like when he'd locked Sam away when he was addicted to the demon blood and Sam trying the cure on Dean. There's a different thing to trying to do something that may result, you know, may accidentally result in their death than actually actively killing.
Yeah, actively, you know? Actively like, killing
the
them.
The cure doesn't work, you're going to have to kill him, is a lot different than keep trying the cure until it kills him. But
yeah, exactly. You
know, fine lines. I'm sure they didn't want either.
No. But yeah, it was good to see, and it was interesting to see them, you know, listening to Kate's story and her telling the story, and just the little moment when she did say, you know, she's family and I'd take a bullet for her. There was like the little exchange between Sam and Dean, you know, of like, they completely would have understood everything. She made a dodgy choice to stop her sister from dying, and they've both done that, you know, and then that she'd take a bullet for her sister because it's family, and they're like, well, so would we. So it, you know, there was they to have that put in front of them, I thought was a really interesting way of getting them to look at their relationship and look at what they've done in the past.
And the lovely bit of, you know, the real resonance that has, I think, comes from Adam Glass shared on Twitter that the impetus or the genesis of what he had going on for Kate came from a time when he was young and his own sister was in a very bad car accident, and he was at her bedside, and how helpless he felt about you know, being able to make her better, and that he would do anything to fix that. And that, I think that's incredibly, you know, adds such weight to what was going on for Kate that, you know, that and that I love knowing that that's where that story had come from.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah, it was just gorgeous. So, and his sister joined in to say he was really awesome.
That was really
except
sweet.
And he was horrible to her because he is her brother.
Yeah, and that's what brothers are for.
But yeah, so where are we? Oh yes, and then we get to next car conversation when they're on their way to the cabin.
Oh yeah. Which was great because Sam came clean, you know. I love it's like they're checking to see if she's awake. I thought,
she's asleep. We can have a chat.
We can have a chat, you know. And they weren't even, at first, like they seemed like they were whispering, but then they weren't. And I thought, imagine if she woke up and heard all of this. She doesn't want to hear any of this. This is too frightening.
Well, also, you might be, sorry, my dog found another communicator.
Never mind.
She's speaking to the home planet.
Don't leave me again. I feel like Jensen on the stage without Jared. I freeze.
Sorry. It's okay. I've cut off her communication for now. Well, yes, you might also wonder when why Sam's mentioning the fact that Dean was dead.
Yeah, I know.
Like, wait a minute. Anything else aside, I think I might be scrambling to get out of a moving car at that point. What? You were dead?
What the hell?
Hang on. I'm a werewolf and you're worried about me, but you were dead and you came back to life?
Again? It's not the first time.
But it wasn't funny. It was actually really moving.
It was really moving.
And the really measured way Sam just, you know, he says that about, I watched you die. I carried you. I carried your corpse into your room. I put your dead body onto your bed. I mean, that's just, you know, just the way it's almost not quite matter of fact, but it's like he's spelling it out in like, that's what I went, you know, that's what I had to, you know, just think for a moment. Of course, we know Dean has done the same thing for
exactly
Sam.
The same when he thing, was dead. Yeah. When he was dead. So, that time Sam was dead.
Our show has no respect for death.
And yeah, exactly. He would have done exactly. And I've often thought about that scene, you know, when before we had the other scene, you know, that he would have had to have carried Sam's massive body, you know, into that cabin on Frontierland and lay him out. And, you know, Sam did exactly the same thing. They grieved next to their dead brother on a bed. And yeah, I mean, it was really powerful to hear Sam say that, because I mean, all of us would have, you know, have all thought it, of course, we've all run the scenario of Dean dying in Sam's arms and what comes next to the bed, in our heads, you know, getting him into the Impala. I've run the whole thing through my head. I'm like, my God, that must have been hard work. And so it was, you know, it was extremely powerful. And it was powerful then to have, there was like that moment where he said, and you know, and Dean's like, yeah, you know, he acknowledges that what Sam's done, but also like the note. And he's like, I was hoping you could read between those lines. And Sam's so shocked. But it was, I thought what was really fantastic was that Dean, you know, said he was embarrassed by what had happened to him. And, yeah, you know, he was embarrassed by becoming a demon. He was embarrassed that he hung out with Crowley. He's embarrassed by everything he did because he's Dean Winchester. You know, this kind of stuff is what he fights against. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't become a demon and hang out with the king of hell, you know, singing karaoke, for Christ's sake. You know, he might not have told Sam that bit, but he, you know, and...
Oh, let's just hope it at some point he gets to see a video of that on Crowley's phone.
That would be awesome.
This is, or they randomly run into someone who's like, dude, weren't you that guy who used to do awful karaoke at the Black Spur?
That would be hilarious. But, you know, I thought that was a really amazing word to use for, and it was not the word you would, it was not the way you think he would, you know, speak about,
yeah,
having all that happen. It felt so honest and real.
And it felt, yeah, that it was coming from this place of honesty.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, I hate that I did that, or, you know, it wasn't me or whatever. Saying he was embarrassed just, yeah, it rings true to Dean, and the fact that he chooses a word that doesn't make him look better. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's not, oh, I hate that I did it. I regret that I did it.
Yeah. I had no control, or, you know.
Any of those any things. Of there's that. No excuses in it. There, and there's just this raw emotion of, I'm embarrassed.
And it was really raw. And the way he said it was really raw. It wasn't like matter of fact. It was just like he dripped sort of this shame of embarrassment of, you know, he feels really humiliated by what's happened to him. And, I thought it was fantastic. It was like the perfect word to use, and totally the one that we wouldn't have expected, I think.
Sorry, can I hear Buffy in the
background? Yes, now Buffy's got the communicator.
Maybe Lola was calling her. Welcome to the Women and Dog of Letters podcast.
God.
We have very high quality podcasting here. Next week we will assure the dogs have no access.
I actually thought I'd put all her toys away, but I missed her new Kong Wubba.
You should know that.
I don't know where she was hiding it.
You never know where they're hiding them. I've totally lost where we're up to now.
We're talking about Dean being embarrassed.
Yes. And then we get to the cabin, of course, and, you know, Tash has to make the Kate has to make this, you know, well, after being locked in the car, has to make this terrible decision of what to do. And, I mean, she's, you know, making this face, you know, with her sister, the one we know she would take a bullet to protect, but now she sees that, you know, Kate has turned these other guys into werewolves, you know, obviously, you know, no regret, no, not even apologetic to her sister, not even trying to sort of win her over.
No.
There's obviously, you know, a lot of what Kate loved about her sister is gone in that way, and the wolf has taken over. It's always lovely to see Jared and Jensen overpowered by very petite young women.
But I also loved, you know, when Dean was tossed onto the floor by the one with the really bad hair, and then Sam's like, hey, you know, and there was, you know, like calling out for him to stop when he goes to attack Dean, you know, goes in to growl at him or something, and you know, there was just a couple of nice little moments, and in when they're sort of bailed up by the monster, the werewolves, and Dean checks on Sam and pops his hand on his back to make sure he's all right. I mean, there were some really cool little moments in that bit. Yeah.
And the fact that the boys take them down.
Yes, you know, yeah.
Sam and Dean take down the werewolves together.
Yeah.
And notably, though, of course, Sam does get to kill them both. So,
yes. And whether that's because Dean wasn't in a position to do it, or he was just moving quick to make sure Dean doesn't do
I think it was a bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, I do too.
Sam was, he took advantage of the opportunity, but, you know, he had limited opportunity given his one arm.
He did good. And then Dean makes a sassy joke and Sam rolls his eyes, and it was all delicious.
It was gorgeous. But then, of course, you know, Kate does kill Tash, and that's... you know, a heartbreaking moment when you just, yeah, she's gone to that place, and, you know, it's heroic in a way because it is something she is doing for, because it's right. It's not right for her. It's not right for her sister, doesn't think it's right. But for the greater good, it is right to do. Which, you know, in my books makes Kate a real hero.
Yeah.
That she will go there. And I think that's the action that, you know, Sam and Dean do recognise, and what makes them decide not to go after her. Yeah. And the fact that she calls them too, you know.
Yeah, I love that she called them. I thought that was great that she just sort of, I thought that was great she called them. And it showed real strength in her to do that as well. And then also for them to have that, be able to have that conversation with her to sort of say, look, you checked in, you did the right thing, and see you around. I sure as hell hope not. I thought that was great as well.
Oh, I wanted to hook up and hang out with Garth.
Garth, I know. I mean, I think everybody, I think just about all of fandom was going, wait a minute, why don't they give her Garth's phone number? He's got a nice, happy werewolf family that have learnt to live without eating people's hearts, you know. Send her off to meet Garth. Maybe there's a brother-in-law there she can meet or
something. Oh, you're hooking her up.
I'm matchmaking.
I think she's probably got a few bigger issues.
Garth met a nice girl and settled down. A nice werewolf girl. Okay, she might have, was she the one who bit him? I can't remember, but anyway. Maybe.
And I love the shout out as she walks out of the phone box to the old TV series, The Incredible Hulk, which always used to end with Bruce Banner having hulked out and saved the day, but is still being sort of an outcast.
Lonely,
and there was
this really
evocative music theme that used to play as he would wander off into the night. And I then went on a spiral even further back in my TV memory to a show called The Littlest Hobo. I don't know if you ever watched that.
I haven't ever watched it, but I do know it.
Okay. So it was a Canadian show which aired in Australia about a German shepherd who would roll into town and save the day and then head out again. And it was on, I think it had two runs in the 60s and the 70s. And, yes, only Canadians and Australians know about. And there were two different theme songs. So it, depending on your age, you know either the older theme song, which I know, or the newer theme song, which my friend Ryan knew. But it was the same sort of thing. The dog would walk off into the distance. And it was sort of evoked at the end of the dog episode, Shapeshifter.
Yeah, yeah.
Friend.
No, it was All Good Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yes, so it was sort of evoked at the end of that. But I also thought because Kate's a wolf and German Shepherds. But I think the nerd reference, I'm sure, from Adam Glass, because I'm pretty sure he didn't watch on Canadian TV
shows about heroic dogs.
About heroic dogs was probably an Incredible Hulk reference. I think I could call that one. Maybe I'll ask him on Twitter. I don't think he would know. No one else knows. The Little Sabre. We have the final car conversation.
Yeah, which I was really impressed with because they were having a conversation, you know, and then the phone rang and it's like, oh, nuts. It's always with the phone ringing, interrupting them. But Dean hung up and went straight back to the conversation, you know. It was like, say you're right, you know. And then he said the words about how, you know, he wanted to get back into the saddle because he just wants to do some good because he's so tired of doing everything wrong. And I cried. I actually cried. I kind of burst into tears. I burst into tears because it was such a Dean thing to say for a start. But it was such a sad thing to say because he really is, you know, like they really are heroes. And though they make a lot of mistakes along the way, they do so much good and have sacrificed so much for everybody else. And, you know, and yet he still thinks of himself as this person who never does the right thing and never does anything good. And
I think, you know, also over time, to be fair, that ledger, if you like, has become less clear on how much good in their minds.
Yeah, in their minds.
In how much good they do balanced, you know, against the harm they do. And I mean,
which is conversations that they've had lately.
Yes, and I think, you know, and both of them, I mean, and personally, having gone through times of, you know, Demon Dean and Soulless Sam and, you know, where they've actively done bad versus cases just like this one where it's not always cut and dry. I mean, this was probably a little less murky on the moral area than many of the cases they have. But that whole, you know, saving people, hunting things, as I am oft to bang on about forever, you know, has been problematized since we first heard it because, mm-hmm. you know, working out what's the right thing is fucking hard. I mean, and as, you know, Sam did say, it's the struggle that counts. But that doesn't help you necessarily feel that, you know, what you do is good, I think. And I think that, and particularly in the light of all that's gone on in the last couple of years, I think, and what they've even just what they've done for each other, and feeling that maybe that wasn't the best either for the other brother or for the world as a whole. It's hard shit to deal with.
And yeah, they deal with a lot of shit, but it's part. I think part of, you know, him reflecting on that is what Bob Singer and Carver have been talking about with Dean is like. The hero's journey he's going to go on, rediscovering or refinding the hero within himself, which, you know, sounds like this is like the beginning of that journey for him, which will be really exciting to see him. I really hope he actually likes himself a little bit more like he used to once upon a time, very briefly.
Was always
bravado.
Yeah, I think there was a lot more of that than... Yeah. You know, and I've never thought that Dean, you know, hates himself or anything, but I just think there's been a lot of self-doubt there and a lot of not knowing who he is, particularly outside of his relationships and, you know, not knowing who he is outside of Sam's protector or John's good son and, you know, or the hunter who saves people. I think that's been a lot of his struggle is outside of those things, when those things fall down, you know, all those things are taken away, who am I? And you know, that's difficult. And I think that's, you know, that there's a difference there of, I, you know, self-worth not being the same, you know, not knowing what he's worth is different than hating himself. And
yeah.
I think, you know, but what they're both coming to at the moment, and I think, you know, they've sort of always known it subconsciously, is that they can both help each other heal. They've both got the power to break each other as well. But, you know, that's the exciting thing at the moment. You think, my God, they might actually, until the next the other shoe drops.
Well, you know, that thing on the arms fires itself up again.
Well, that's going to be fascinating, isn't it, now, to see what role that plays.
It is going to be fascinating, because you've got to assume that it's going to kick in at some point. I mean, Dean's not going to get away with not killing anybody, anything, for very long. Let's face it, that's probably going to happen sooner rather than later. And does that reactivate it or not, you know? And what happens when that does happen? And, you know, do they start to see his personality start to shift again like it did, you know, before he got his hands on the blade? He was still getting really cranky and, you know, not sleeping and all that kind of stuff. Is that what we're going to see? And is that going to be sort of the, you know, a big part of the story, is trying to get that thing off him or find a way to deal with it? You know, and I keep coming back to the fact that Crowley has a goddamn blade, and, you know, he's going to be using that as leverage at some point or another.
Yes, well, that is literally the Damocles sword hanging over them at the moment.
Absolutely.
At the moment.
Yeah.
So, just a wonderful episode.
It was a beautiful episode. I really enjoyed it.
We know that Adam always, you know, look, he knows these boys so well and taps into their relationship and their emotions.
And he loves them like we
so
do.
So perfectly, yes.
Yeah, and he loves them.
Yes, he does. So we always know they're in good hands with him. And look, you know, I would have liked a bit more gore, given it was a werewolf episode, a little bit more eviscerating. But, you know.
I really enjoyed it.
I'll trade that in for the moments we had in the car.
I mean, I was just gobsmacked through the whole thing of them sitting and talking, and everything they were talking about
image of the you know, the sunny image. And I must mention that shot in the back with the no hunting sign was just gorgeous bit of set deck joke.
Yeah, it was fabulous.
Easter egg there. But, you know, from that moment, you really, that just told you, and I often say, I love, you know, Supernatural doesn't forget, and that little Easter egg is a sign. It never forgets. It's you know, television is a visual medium, and it immediately with that shot. So we've had the teaser, which is very standard Supernatural terror
with a great song,
Werewolves of London. But then we open on a shot, and you immediately know that things are different between the boys. Like, you don't need to say anything, but that visual of a sunny day, the boys in sunglasses, sitting together, watching a peaceful scene, having a beer, just that shot tells you everything you need to know about where they've gone from the end of the last episode to now.
I mean,
that was just exciting. You knew that, you know, something was going to unfold in this episode. And then we lead up to the 200th next week.
Yay, which will be so exciting. And I was saying on Twitter today that every time I watch, so CW must have posted that trailer that promo about 5 times now, and every time I click on it and watch it, and then I can't stop humming the damn songs.
Oh,
especially that, like, Big Brother Dean one. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're stupid catchy. We're all going to be singing them.
We are going to, look. You know, I have already said I'll probably have lyrics tattooed on me. Mm. If we don't have a full stage production ready by VanCon. But, you know, some of these are, well, I don't know how we'll do them at karaoke. We'll just have to give the tracks to the karaoke person, because we will be singing them.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But it just looks great, and the trailer looks so fun, and, you know, there's been a couple of really neat teasers, you know, just little snippets from the cast and everybody just, I won't say any because some might consider them spoilery, but, you know, some little pieces that have been mentioned that it's like, ooh, that sounds, ooh, what's that mean? What's that going to be? But just seeing the, everything in that trailer just looks awesome. I love the stage set with Mary in the wall, you know, on the ceiling with the face through the hole, and it just looks like so much fun. I wonder if they all went and took their photo with their face through the hole. They should have done that. That'd be awesome.
That would be rather macabre.
It'd be so funny, though. It'd be like one of those things at the show. You stick
I'm
your
sure
head
we'll
in.
Hear we'll hear lots more behind the scenes stories after the episode airs.
Exactly. And then so, Burbank, we've got is that not this weekend? Following weekend?
So. It's the Burbank convention is the weekend following the 200th episode.
So there should be lots of questions, people, and lots
yes.
of
well,
chat.
Well, it's a bit
that.
Disappointing. Creation haven't taken the opportunity to get the writer of the episode to have his own panel.
Should be great.
Yeah, I mean, look, the dude works 5 minutes from where you're having the convention.
Yeah.
I think he might be available actually. For a panel if you ask.
You could just pop, drive over and drive back.
Well, yes. Anyway, I think it's a sadly missed opportunity.
I agree.
But we'll have to hear lots of stories from the boys, I am sure.
I hope so. I'm sure we will.
Okay, that's us for this week. We will be back, obviously, after the 200th,
oh
possibly
God.
A singing podcast.
Woo!
I did confess on Twitter today I spent most of my high school years doing musicals, and it's bringing it all back.
Oh, my God.
I'm ready to break out into tune at any moment.
Fantastic.
I'll be seeing if I can get a hold of the sheet music.
Oh, my God.
Putting together at least the Supernatural Fandom choir as soon as possible.
That would be awesome. I'll be in it. I would like to
Everyone will be in it.
Yay!
Okay, thank you for listening.
Thank you,
see you after the 200th and enjoy.
Enjoy the epi. Talk to you later. Bye, guys.
You've been listening to the Women of Letters podcast. If you'd like to contact us, our email is wolspn@gmail.com. You can follow Amy on Twitter @AmyInSydney and Jules @SuperWiki.